Okay, we're up to Perek Chavav, Pasuk. We are in the middle of Pasuk Yud. Perek Chavav, we are in the middle of Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud Rav Mechabel Kol, the Seicher Kesil, the Seicher Oivim. So we learned yesterday the parish of the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos translated Rav to Rav refers to a contentious person. Before we conclude our law, Mr. Weiss has yard site today for his mother. So we'll learn the Zecher Leili Nishmosa. Her name is Esther Bash Shlomo. May her Nisham have an Aliyah. Okay, so rather we learned yesterday the parish of the Pasuk Gili Rav, according to the parish of the Pasuk, Rav means a person who is a difficult person. Rav comes from the word Riv. Riv is to quarrel, a contentious person. A person, Pasuk Yud, Perikov Vav Pasuk Yud. A contentious person, Rav Nchol Kol, Nchol means Chalolim. Victims, slain victims, people that have been killed in battle. A person who is a difficult person has a tendency, has the nature to cut down, call everyone he comes in contact with. Therefore, no one is willing to associate with this person. The only way he can have associates is with money. And therefore, he has to hire people. Who does he hire? Even for money, you can't hire a good, honest man. He only can hire a kasil, a fool, and he can hire v'secher, he can hire oivrim, people who are oivir al ha-Torah, sinners, people who transgress the Torah. That was the parish of the mitzvahs, the stand-alone pasuk, a stand-alone idea. According to Rashi, this was a continuation of the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk told us that the koyach Allah biyat sikar, u'mashal b'fi chasilim, that the mashal that we're about to present, the mashal of pasuk yud, is a mashal, is a parable that is fluent in the mouth of a fool. This parable is a dangerous parable. It involves something very dangerous. Anyone that listens to this, takes this parable seriously, can become an apikoris. That's what I mean. It's a choyach. It's a thorn. It's a thorn that is in the hand of a shikar. Whatever he touches. If he touches you, he gives you a pat on the back, he's really stabbing you, because the thorn is going to puncture and hurt you. He's called the shikar. The shikar here is a term that we're using for an evil person, a person that lacks intelligence. Like Ad Lo Yada Ben Aruham Baruch Mordechai was shikrusa shalait. Only a person that lacks intelligence would do what Lot did and live with his daughters. So here we're dealing with an evil person, the person who's a fool. His foolishness is so great that we're calling it here, he's a shikar. Shikar here in the previous pasuk test is a synonym for kasil. It's very enlightening. A fool has the same status as a shikar. A shikar, you can smell from a mile away, stay away. But a fool, you can't tell right away that he's a fool. You have to unfortunately experience it. So, but he has in his hand, his possession, something that's very dangerous. And what's dangerous is the mashal. What's the mashal? It's the mashal. It's the words that be cursed in pasuk yud, which we learned yesterday, the first page, which basically means, he basically says that less din v'less dayan. So I paraphrase, less din v'less dayan, because he says that Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechol el kol, he creates everything, but so what? Even after he creates everything, it's all the same. V'soicher HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hires kesil v'soicher, even he hires fools and he hires people that walk on the road, and was empty people. Oiver, according to Rashi, is a person that travels on the road, a person that's not skilled, a person that has no life experience, no skills, and he is put in a position of authority. He is hired by Kadosh Baruch Hu to do things that are very important. So in other words, he's saying that it doesn't pay. It's not kedai to invest years and years of hard work and effort to become wise, because what's the difference? When it's all said and done, the people who are going to rise to the top are going to be the evil, wicked people who are empty. So basically, saying less din v'less dayan. That was Rashi's first interpretation. Yes.
Excuse me. Oivrim could be maybe a play on the word over hayam, being foreign.
Rashi says oivrim means oivrei drachen. Okay, interesting. You want to go get foreigners? That's what's happening in America today. Today they're replacing all the Americans with foreigners. Okay, that's an idea. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi plus the Gid Rav. The Rashi has two more perushim, which are not so simple. The Rashi's first perush is Rav Mechayel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Rav. Baro es Hakol. Mechayel means to create. Vidon es Hakol. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he judges everyone. Ha kikisil kichacham. Hashem judges everyone the same. There's no difference. Doesn't make a difference if you're a fool or a wise man. It's all the same. That's the words of the courses. And therefore, the conclusion is ve'ein anu tzrichim l'shum chacham. There's no need to become wise. The seicher. What does it mean? The seicher Hashem hires everything. Lo kibasa v'dam. Rashi says shalo yiskar ella poyalim b'kiyim. You will only hire a skilled, competent person. Lo yiskar ella ha'iskim b'malachta. Not like a human being, which only hires a person that is busy, a person that's a disciplined person. Ava Kadosh Baruch Hu, here are the words of the fool. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu mechalel kol, he creates everything. V'seicher aksilim, he hires fools. V'seicher, he hires oiver derachim. What is an oiver derachim? People that just walk around on the streets and do nothing. Habatlanim mikol melacha. Period. So that's Rashi's first interpretation, which we did spend this a little bit, this review, we learned this yesterday. Now Rashi goes on and gives two more interpretations. I honestly don't have clarity in what these words mean. We'll translate them the best that we can. Maybe you can enlighten me, enlighten all of us. Medrash Agada v'seicher k'sil. Have a k'sil milasha. The word seicher, the sin, should be interchanged with a samach. And when you have the word seicher, it means to close up, to plug. To plug a hole, like the marble. The marble, vayiskru sochru mayonois to home. After the marble is over, the fountains were sealed. The seicher ksil b'loshon v'sochru mayonois to home. The loshon oisei sochar. And the loshon of oisei sochar, which also there means people who it's also passing Yishan, not sure what it means over there, but it means also to close up, to seal. And what is the deeper meaning over here? So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Soicher Mazol Ksil. Here is the second change of interpretation according to Rashi and Pin Perush. Ksil here does not mean a fool. Ksil here means the Mazol Ksil. We know there are 12 constellations, and the Mazol Ksil is the Mazol that operates in the summertime, in Tishrei, the end of the summer. The end of the summer, and this Mazol brings good fortune. It brings a benefit to the world, and they basically the apikoris, this fool is saying that the truth is that when there's a recession, you know who's to blame? The Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the one that is causing us to suffer in this world. Hashem is causing us to suffer for no reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Soicher, he seals Mazal Kisil. What's the Mazal Kisil? It's the constellation Hamishamesh B'Moisachama. Period. Then Mitishrei the Elich. From Tishrei, the Eilich, from Tishrei, and now I'm not sure how to read these words, it's a little bit choppy, the words here. I'm not sure where you put the comma. Me Tishrei, or could we put the comma there? Or Me Tishrei, the Eilich, or you put the comma after the word B'mosachama? And then it says, Me Tishrei, the Eilich, put the period over there. Umei Oz, for the remainder of the winter, when the summer is over and the fall begins and the winter begins, and there's a new mazel, and there and that's a mazel. Umei Oz, who soicher v'soiger, he seals and shuts down. Kol oivrei hayam mileilech boi ad haPesach. In the winter, you can't travel. The waters are dangerous. The waters are frozen. It's an extreme danger to travel in the bitter cold winter. So then that is the commerce, the economy. It's a rainy season.
It's
so
difficult to travel on land.
On land as well. So Ovi Durachim, Oz Soicher, Vesoger, Kol Oivre Hayam. Here he specifically focused on the Yam. Melelech Boy Ad HaPesach. So it appears, again, I'm not exactly sure over here what it means, but it seems to say over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shutting down the economy. No, not that I know of. I don't have any reference for this. I don't know. Medrash Agada. I don't know where the Medrash Agada is. In my Sefer, it doesn't quote this Medrash Agada. It doesn't make any mention over here of this Rashi. It just says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rav. The Rav is Mechoylel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates everything. The Seicher. But he shuts down the Ksil, the Mazel of Ksil, which operates in the summer. And then the Soicher Oivrim, and in the winter, he shuts down people from traveling across the sea. I don't know what he's trying to say. One more time. Ubenish agada v'soicher aksil b'loshon v'sachar mayonis tahim seals b'loshon oisay sachar. Same there. It also means to shut down. Hakadosh Baruch Hu soicher mazal kisil hamishanesh b'mois hachama meitishrei ve'elech. Period. Umeos, and then from that time and on, when the summer's over, who soicher v'soicher kol oivrei hayam meilelech boyad pe'ar ha'pesach, it shuts down the oivrim, the people who travel in the sea, until Pesach. So, yeah. What are three constellations there? I mean, there are 12 constellations, but
the three specific ones.
Okay, anyone have any idea what this means? Any suggestions what this medrash means? I really don't know what he's trying to say over here. I'll just leave with that. And then he quotes a third parish. I also don't understand what it means. And then Rashi on his own, he rejects it. So let's just read the words. And the third interpretation is v'divrei Rabbi Moshe. The words of Rabbi Moshe Reisi Rav Mechaylel. Rav here means a rich man. Okay, so this is something new. Until now, we had what Rav refers either to a person who's a bal machlekes lashon rif, or means Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now we have a third interpretation. Rav means a wealthy individual, a human being. Mechaylel kol. Mechaylel means he is. Is busy. I don't know how what he means. Mechol kol asher yesh loy pu'ulos harabim. Every wealthy man yesh loy pu'ulos harabim. Apul harbe has a lot of business. The imsoicher kesil b'malachdoi. And if he shuts down, if he hires a fool b'malachdoi, and if this wealthy person hires a fool to oversee his work, his business, he nehu kisoicher kol oivrei derech. So according to the interpretation, we're comparing the first part, the first expression, to the second expression. If he hires a fool, it's like he's hiring kol oivrei derech sheroin bekilkul hamalacha. Lahoyrois eich yisakein, to see what is no good and how to fix it. Now, I don't know what that means either. What does that mean over here? I have no idea. I read this like many times. Yitkon, which means what? What does it mean, yitkon? How to. Okay, you see, I have here also even printed out just for this pasuk because I couldn't figure out what I printed out the translation to see what this means. A wealthy man has many activities. Oh, you have this also over here. So what does he say over there? Okay, let me see one thing at a time. Okay, one thing at a time. First over here, he says over here, a wealthy man, many activities, and if he hires a fool, it is though he is hiring all wayfarers who witness the deterioration of the work.
That's exactly what it says in here.
To instruct how to rectify it. So Yisakin, he translates, not a riot, to rectify it, and how he should work. What does that mean? I have no idea.
That's the same thing.
Same thing. Okay, I read these words many, many times, and I tried to decipher what he's trying to say, but it seems like either they were missing something in this Rashi, or there is something a lot deeper than we are aware of. Rashi goes on to say, "V'davar reku," this interpretation is empty. Who ve'ena in yinkan, doesn't make any sense in this context. So I'm on the right mark, right? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, he means something very deep, which has, at least there is a havamin. Rashi would not quote such an interpretation. He wouldn't just quote nonsense. Rashi would quote something which obviously has deeper meaning, and he would give some form of elaboration, but he's not doing so. The various some that I have don't really explain. Let me just get a tissue one second. Which one are you looking for?
Kasil is Orion. So it's Marin Brachas.
Okay. And that's in the summer? What is that? What, it's Tammuz? Which Mazel is that?
The flood was caused by moving two stars, and you can't fill up the hole. That's what it's called.
All right, I apologize. The article, I have the article also, I tried it. It really doesn't see anything, any elaboration at all on this parish of Rashi. And I have all the sermon that I just didn't get to, so maybe, yeah.
Ibn Ezra?
Ibn Nam. Yeah. Rashi's interpretation, okay, that's Rashi's interpretation. Ibn Nachman quotes Rashi's interpretation, commenting that this parable discourages fools from engaging in any work. Right, he quotes another interpretation in the name of the sages, which differ from Rashi only insofar the Seicher, he hires transgressors. Okay, it doesn't really say anything anymore.
Doesn't
really give any other elaboration. All right, after okay. That, so we'll leave it. We have two pretty good perushim, the Mitzudos and Rashi's first interpretation. The word Rav either means a contentious person, and Mechoyel means he kills. He's a murderer, and the only way he can associate this is very, very much. Very, you see this in this world today. There are people over here that are very, very difficult people, and the only people that will be able to associate is through money. You can buy with money. You can buy almost anything. You can even buy a sunny betza. For money, you associate with people. And that's pretty much what it says. In the second parish of the Rashi, first parish is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh creates everything. And the Apikoros, he says words of Apikoros, and he says, what's the purpose of engaging in Chachma when it's all the same at the end? HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages everyone, he engages the fool and the Rishayim, they rise to the top, so why should I exert myself to become a Chachma and a Tzaddik? That's seemingly Rashi's first interpretation. Now I come to Pasuk Gidalf, because Gidalf is a famous Pasuk, very well known Pasuk. It's a very disturbing pasuk. Just like a dog returns to its vomit, so too a fool repeats its mistake. The difference, this is a very famous expression, I don't know if I'm saying the exact words, but the difference between a wise man and a fool is, a wise man does not repeat his mistakes. There's no such thing as not making a mistake. Every single person makes mistakes. Even the greatest of the greatest, the greatest of the great, in tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yecheta. The difference is, a wise man, he learns from his mistakes. Once you've been done in, you've been taken advantage of, you don't go back. You don't let yourself be taken advantage of. You see, this is very, very, you deal with people all the time, and they do you in, and then you have another opportunity to engage them in business, engage them in dialogue, in some type of venture, joint venture. You're a fool in order to do it again. I used to work with outsource a lot of stuff into India. Today we don't do this anymore, but we used to do it in not only India, it's like South Africa. I had a very good guy in Poland, Russia. I had a very good guy in Poland. You get incredible work for dirt cheap prices in programming and especially design. What? But then now some of it is coming back. India, there are companies that specialize in just doing the outsourcing. But we have people in South Africa, a very good guy in South Africa, a very good guy in Poland, and India, a lot of people in India, and some of them are no good. Some of them are really, they don't have the discipline, they don't have the responsibility. Like, it's hit and miss. But their prices are just too good to be true. But you get burnt. Because when you really need them, the work we used to do, there always were emergencies. That's the nature of the business. Things, the emergencies. And in the emergency, you need them. We need you to quickly solve the problem. And they do a project. They finish the project. It's really good. And then there's an emergency. And they're not there for you. And they're the only ones that can do it. And you get burnt. We get burnt big time. Big until they finally got around to do it. It was too little, too late. Lost a lot of money, a lot of problems. It's unrepairable. And now we have a new project. Who are we going to give the new project to? Their prices are just irresistible.
We
fall for it. So this time you think this time will be okay.
Gilbert,
this
years ago about that.
What?
The whole series in Gilbert. Years ago about
The outsourcing.
The outside, and you're getting burnt. So I always fell for it. I was always a sucker for this. The price was too good. I always said to myself, this time will be okay. This time I won't get burned. I'll make sure it's not going to happen. I'll talk to them before. And it always happened. The same pattern of behavior. I'm a fool. It's really what it all is. It's so true. And that's the difference between a fool and a wise man. A fool does not repeat his mistakes. That was a very good experience for something else I had. I used that as a lesson. I dealt with someone else who did me in in another way. Nothing to do with programming. And then he offered me a job. And then the last month he pulled out the rock. He offered me a job, and then right before I was supposed to start, he pulled the rock. I was burnt. All right, didn't make it. So then a couple of months later, he offered me another job. So I knew, forget it. I don't trust him. I knew I'm not going to start with this guy. It's going to be the same thing all over again. So this is you know, you learn the hard way. And this pasuk really hits home. Kesil shayne be'ivaltai, and the mashal is a dog. And a lot of the farshim are very disturbed. What exactly is the mashal? Why do we need a mashal? The fact that Shlomo HaMelech elaborates by telling us the concept that kesil shayne be'ivaltai is compared to a dog, shaval keoi, obviously has much more depth. And indeed, I think Rashi, Mitzudos, and Rashi, they say different things. If it was a Rashi, there's no Rashi in this. There's another farshim. So the Yachal, let's look at Mitzudos. Something a little interesting. Mitzudos. The pasuk Yidal, the kelev, kimoya kelev asher darko lachsov lechol es hamachol. He returns to the machol asher koha migufo. Now the problem is the dog. What's the problem with the dog eating the vomit? So you think it's disgusting. That's not the issue. It's not disgusting. We have different standards of what's disgusting. It's not disgusting. The dog, it's not disgusting. It's just that doesn't the dog realize that why did I vomit? Why did this come out of my stomach? It's because it's poisonous. So if it was poisonous the first time around, and that's why I regurgitated it, why do I think that the same exact thing, literally the same exact thing, is not going to be poisonous when I ingest it the second time around? It's not disgusting. It's just it doesn't learn its lesson. It does not understand kibalvur roya hamachal, due to the poison, due to the nature, the inferior quality of the food. Kaha oisai v'maloi lechol shuv minha maloi lechol shuv. Nothing over here in this Rashi has any indication of disgust. Nothing. Not like the average person, because we're judging the dog on our standards. Okay, that's a very big mistake. Dog does different standards. It's not disgusting. It's just, it's a foolishness on its part. Does not understand that he already was burned and he should watch and not get burned a second time. Now, in the article, I don't remember, but the article, he has other Rishonim that learn, not like the Mitzudos, maybe Achrenim also, that it means disgusting. It means, and Echanami, we do judge the dog on our standards. Forget about the fact that the food is poisonous. Maybe it's not poisonous anymore. Maybe indeed that once the food has been regurgitated, the virus, whatever's in the food, has died. It's just disgusting. It's just something which is neos. It has whatever. It's a disgusting soul to the same thing as a human being. It repeats his mistakes. It shows a disgust, a neoskite in the midos of a human being. Okay, so that's two mahalchim. Now, the Medrash says this pasuk is a very important pasuk in relation to doing tshuva. In fact, there are two Midrashim which are chaylik on each other, which force us to give a different interpretation. One Medrash, one Mamar Chazal, says that it's a very good thing for a person to do tshuva continuously his entire life for an Avera. If he does an Avera, serious Avera, and it comes Yom Kippur, he does tshuva, he claps al chet, he fasts, he really works hard on himself to tshuva for a specific Avera, and Yom Kippur passes. The dilemma is, what should he do next year? Next year, should he once again confess the sin that he's done 2 years ago, 3 years ago? So one Chazal says no. It's disgusting. Once you've done everything in your power to confess for your sin, you're supposed to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He has forgiven you, you've done yours, and move forward in life. Don't confess an old sin. And this pasuk is actually used. Kekel of Shav al Keoi, it would be disgusting for a dog to return to its vomit. So to a kasil. Kasil here means even a very chashuv person, but it means at the moment, a person who does an avera, that moment he is a fool. Ein adam choytei ela imke nichnas by ruach shtos. The moment a person is nichshel in avera is called a fool. So when a fool does an avera, that's it. You're a fool. So do tshuva. You want to go back to the avera continuously, year after year, and klap al chait. That is a foolish thing. Don't do tshuva for an avera once you've done tshuva once. That's other mefarshim say pumfaker. A person every year, you never do tshuva. A person can never really cleanse his neshama from sin, and therefore, adarabba, ideally, a person every single year should do tshuva for all the averas he's done in the past years. So you have to have a notebook, and when a person is 120 years old, he'll have a long list of sins he's done throughout his entire life, because that's what it says. But it says this pasuk. So that Mefarish says, that opinion in the Gemara says, it means don't repeat the Avera. Pasuk doesn't mean to do tshuva for the Avera. It means if you've done the Avera last year, you've learned the hard way. To again do Davin, you learned something from the bitter experience of doing an Avera, having Charata, and doing tshuva, and fasting, and now it's a half a year later, and you find yourself in the same position, and you have a Nisayon, and you're going to do the Avera again, knowing that you're going to have the same remorse, and the same bad feelings, and you're going to have to go do tshuva, and fast, and klap al chait, and go through this whole process. You're out of your mind. It's like a dog returning to its own vomit.
Alcoholic,
never really recovered. And the Gemara says, unfortunately, that's nature. Kevin Shah, this is where the Gemara appears, that Gemara, once a person does Navera once, chutruloi. Once a person does Navera one time, it's permitted. Permitted? Wherever it's where? It means nasa like a hat. Once a person does Navera once, twice, three times, in his eyes, it has no meaning, no severity, and the person, he actually feels that it's a mitzvah to do the Avera. Rationalize it, and that's like a dog at Shav al Kei. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudbeis Reisi Reisi Ish Chacham. Shlomo says, "Reisa, have you seen an Ish Chacham be'enav? Tikva lichsil mimenu. There's more hope for lichsil mimenu from the Chacham be'enav. We have here two people. We have here a person who's a Chacham be'enav." In other words, the pasuk is dealing with fools. Both of them are fools. The only difference between fool number one and fool number two is fool number one thinks he's a chacham. The second fool knows he's a fool. He knows his limitations. He knows his limitations and he knows his limitations. The chacham be'enav, is has no hope. Someone who thinks he knows everything has no hope. The one that knows he's limited, that knows that he is a fool, he will seek help. So the translation is, Ru'isa, have you seen an ish, a man, who is really a fool, but he is chacham be'enav, he's wise in his own eyes? This person is in a lot of trouble. There's no hope for him. Tikva, there is more hope. Now, we just jump over one word, mimenu, than him, look a seal for the person who knows he is a fool. Doesn't say that explicitly in the pasuk, but that's the interpretation, at least, of the Mitzudo stuff. But let's see how he says it inside. Pasuk Yudbeis Reisa Kasher Tir. When you see ish choishet the atzmai be'enav lichacham v'loy keinhu, it's not so. It's not so. He's not really a wise man. He only thinks he is a wise man. He may guess what? Yesh tikva l'machzik atzma l'ksil. There is a person who knows, who holds himself as a fool, yoser mimenu, more than the person who thinks he's a wise man. Why? Because the one who knows the fool, who yilmad v'yitzchakeim, he'll know how to, he'll seek help. He'll wisen up. He will seek help. Avul ha-machzik atzma l'chacham lo yachba yitzlumad mizulas. But a person who knows himself to be a wise man has no hope. I remember you used to watch, they would compare different presidents of the United States. Bush W, whether we like it or not, got into office twice. Jimmy Carter only was a one-term president. Jimmy Carter The Jimmy Carter is definitely, whether we like it or not, I know he's got big problems with him, but he's definitely, he has intelligence. He definitely, he has chachma. What was his chassar? A lot of historians say, chacham be'enaf. He micromanaged every little thing. He macromanaged every little thing. He did not seek guidance. He did not seek assistance. Everything was his decision. Bush W was a very, right, exactly, everything. I remember once reading a documentary where there was a very big decision to be made in Texas. He was the governor of Texas, and it was a major issue with the economy. And he brought in the biggest experts, and they sat down with research and charts and books and statistics. And if Jimmy Carter would have been in the room, they said he would have gone through every single, read through every file, every book, and analyzed every chart and made his own decision what to do. Bush sitting behind the desk, he wanted to go home for supper. It was already 4:29. He wanted to go home. It was already 29 minutes overtime. And this person, this is the work of an enormous amount of effort. And they present him with books and charts and simulations, and he just looks and he says, "So just tell me, what do you recommend? What do you recommend? I'll do whatever you recommend. I see you've done all the hard work. I leave it to you." He tikvah mimenus. That there is a tremendous smile. I mean, whether we like the tremendous smiles in knowing your limitations. Every person, to some degree, is a kasil. Every person can't know it all. You need someone to tell you what to do, and the person that is willing to seek advice, there is much more hope than the person that is a chacham de'enav. It's powerful muscle, even for the wisest of the wise, even for all of kulanu chachamim, kulanu yodim as atara. There is some very good word, wise words of wisdom here. There's a beautiful medrash on this pasuk. The medrash interprets the word kesil as a reference to the ultimate kesil. The zokain kesil. Who is the zokain kesil? The Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is the zokain kesil. And what is the zokain kesil? When he sees a person who is a chacham be'enav, who thinks he's a smart aleck, he says, I got him. This one is mine. Tikva, the kesil, has great hope, has great expectations, high hopes. This guy is one of mine. Re'isa, have you seen Ish Chacham de'enav? Do you ever look around a room and see the people who think they're the Gresa Chachamim? Oh, those are the people. Tikva l'kesil mimenu. The kesil has great expectations from such people. You're one of mine. It's a beautiful medrash. The medrash of Breitish Rabba. Breitish Rabba.
Israel, they had it at the airport in the late 60s and early 70s. They still had a sign at customs. Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevonim. They had it over when you checked when you came through customs.
Yeah.
They had a big sign over there. They were saying, don't try to put one on to you.
Don't try.
Who do you think you're dealing with? We're all the Jews here. Uh-huh. We're all Jews.
We'll get you. Hadain, the words of the Medrash are Hadain, it's an Aramaic, Didi. This guy, Didi, he's mine. This guy, the Chacham Einav, is mine. Okay, there is no Rashi. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel begins a series of psukim describing a lazy man. We already had this before. This psukim, in fact, are connected. Are in the Medrashim. They connect some psukim we had before, back in Perek Chof Beis. We had in Perek Chof Beis come out the same idea. Omar in Perek Beis there is Omar Otzel Ari B'chutz. There's a lion outside. Here it says in pasuk Yud Gimel in front of us. Omar Otzel, the Otzel, the lazy man says Shachal Badar. A shachal is one of the seven names for a lion. There, a lion has seven names, different stages in its development. There it says the word ari. Here it says the word shachal. And it says ari also. It says we are ari as well. There was a shachal baderech. Ari, there was a lion bein harukhovos out in the street. Pasuk Yudalit, put them together. Pasuk Yudalit, hadelas tisoiv al tsira. The door swings on its hinges. Okay, the ancient hinges, not the way we have hinges today. The hinges in olden times had pivots on the top and on the bottom. That's the way. They don't have these type of hinges today where, I mean, in some places they still have. They still, very high-end construction, they still have the pivots on the bottom. Not believing they're much more sophisticated than pivots, but they have the hinges in the top and the bottom. But regular door has the hinges along the sides. So the tzira is the top and the bottom. The delis is tisav, it swings al tzira. But the otzer al mitoso, and the lazy man, he swings back, going to the mitzudos, he goes swivels back and forth in his bed. He goes back and forth, he refuses to get out of his bed and do something constructive. Let's see these two psukim together. Let's do one more pasuk. The three psukim go to... Let's do one more pasuk. Let's just see. Let's do these two together first. Pasuk in Gimel Nimsu Tzav. Amar Atzel. L'roiv ho'atzlus yagzim lo'emar. Due to the intensity of his laziness, yagzim, we exaggerate. He exaggerates to say lo'emar in elich eich elich. How could I possibly go to acquire chachm, to go to yeshiva? I might be eaten up by a lion. There are lions out there in the streets. Eich elich. And you, I think you told me, someone told me at the end of Rabbi Mayevsky, you told me that the Malbim says, it's true, there really are lions out there. The only thing is that most people, they know how to deal with it. Like today, you have to cross the street, you know, you have to not cross the street. I'm really hit by a car. Okay, so you make sure you cross at the corner, you wait until it says walk, and even though it says walk, you look to make sure the car is really stopped. Okay, you have to really, you gotta pay attention. You know the joke, I told you the joke a few times, the taxi driver, the guy comes to Eretz Yisrael, he gets into a taxi, he gets out of the airplane, he gets into a taxi, he takes him, where are you going? I'm going to Bnei Brak, wherever he's going, I'm going to Yerushalayim, hotel, King David, gets in the taxi on the road, and the taxi is going, all of a sudden there's a red light, there's a red light, and the taxi driver sees the red light, and he puts the pedal to the metal, boom! And the guy, this American, this simple American, oh my gosh, whew! Meshuggah, the taxi driver. Meshuggah, he gets a red light and he speeds up and he goes right there. I could have gotten killed. Meshuggah, and this goes on and on. He goes another. He's every red light is zoom. This is panicking. Can't catch his breath. All of a sudden, he's gone. All of a sudden, the light turns green, and the taxi driver puts his foot on the brake, slams on the brake, comes to a halting stop, and the guy goes, "Why? It's a green light." What? Says, "What are you doing?" Says. Taxi driver turns and says to me, "Shaita, don't you understand? If it's green for me, that means it's red for the oncoming traffic." It's an oilam hafach. Oilam hafach. Okay, but in any event, we have here, the Shaita says, it's dangerous outside, but listen, everyone knows how to deal with dangerous situations. The lazy man is not willing to deal with difficult situations. I'm going to be snatched. I'm going to be ripped apart. Pasuk Yudal, Hadelas, Kemoi Hadelas Tisavev Atzma Al Atzir, just like the door swivels on the hinges, Vihena below, Tetzei Mimena, Kena Etzel Yapach Al Mitasa Leakum, a lazy man swivels on his bed, back and forth, up and down, and he refuses to get out of his bed. Okay, there is no Rashi. I saw a very beautiful parish in the Art Scroll. It says that the day depends, Pasuk Gizis is a drush, just like a door swivels on its hinges, the lazy man is on his bed, meaning that a day depends on the beginning and the end. A door has a pivot on the bottom and a pivot on the top. A person has a beginning and an end. The beginning of the day is a mashal for the pivot on the bottom, and the end of the day is a pivot for the top. If the pivots are fastened tightly and does not allow the door to swivel, you have a good door, the door stays closed. If the door is not a good door, then the door just blows back and forth in the wind. But the mashal is the day depends on the beginning, and if you have a good start and a good end, it means you have a good day. If the hinge is secure on top and the hinge is secure on the bottom, the door doesn't just flap back and forth in the wind. It's a mashal a person will accomplish. Every person will always have ups and downs in the middle of the day, but it's under your control to get the day off to a good start and to finish the day off with a good end. But if you're going to... But the Otzel, he has loose hinges. The day begins, he gets up 10 o'clock, he goes to sleep 3 o'clock, he doesn't know what he's... the beginning and the end is no good. That's why when the beginning is no good, that's why the whole day is just shakes in the wind, back and forth, back and forth. He has no backbone. He does not accomplish anything significant with his day. Okay, now there is no Rashi, but now this passage is Derech Agav. Okay, I'm not going to go through the whole Medrash; it's a little bit complex. But the Medrash basically takes the entire Sefer Mishlei. This is a Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah. Dvarim Rabbah goes through the whole Mishlei, and it finds every single pasuk that describes an otzel, a lazy person, and it basically says there are seven sections. There are seven sections in Mishlei that deal with a lazy person, and each one is describing a different situation, and basically what it says. Is that tell a person, listen, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, here you're not matzliach. I'm just giving a mashal, and Medrash pretty much says this. You know, here, you know, there's no good yeshiva for you. There's no good parnasa for you here. But if you'll travel to Eretz Yisrael, you'll travel to India, you'll travel to China, you'll go to London, there's an ideal opportunity for you where you will develop, you will succeed, either in business, in learning, and whatever you need, you can definitely, there's a place for you. So go. Go! I can't go. Gotta get a passport, gotta get a visa, gotta go find a place to live, gotta go learn the language. It's too hard. That's what this pasuk, this is an ari baderech. The derech is, it has a connotation of a far away place. So, it's too far, it's just too much red tape. It's too much red tape. Now, a person that's not lazy will go conquer the world. I'll go where no man has gone before in order to succeed. I don't care. Nothing's going to hold me back. Okay, that's not everyone is able to go and travel the world to accomplish, to go on the derech. But the lazy person, forget it. For sure, doesn't even start. No, so but every person to some degree is lazy. Every person to some degree knows in the back of his mind that if he really, really wants to succeed, if he really, really wants to work and go all the way on the derech, I mean, it's a long road ahead. There's a lot of groundwork that has to be done, a lot of preparation. You can accomplish. Every person, that may be acceptable to some degree for some people. All right, so you tell this, okay, fine. But I got you a job. You don't have to go to another country. Just got to go to Los Angeles. It's not so complicated to go to just cross country. You don't have to go to another country, another culture, another. Just relocate. So that's, or just go to the Rechovos. Okay, I'm just giving. There's another expression. You don't have to go on the derech. Just go out into the Rechov. Go out, go to Manhattan. Don't try to get a job in Brooklyn. Don't limit yourself to getting a job in Brooklyn. Get a job in Manhattan. Think about going to New Jersey. Think about traveling, commuting every day to New Jersey, to Newark, to who knows where. You'll find somewhere. No, even that he doesn't want to do. He says, there's an Ari b'Rechovos. Okay, the pasuk back in Perek Chav Gimel, okay, Perek Chav Gimel says, Omar Otzel Ari b'Chutz. Okay, so I don't have the exact details, but there are three different experiences. There's a Derech, there's a Chutz, and there is a Rechov. Each one represents a different degree of difficulty. The Derech is the furthest. Chutz is not, it's in the middle.
Right outside the door.
Maybe that's even later. Once that's even later, the Rechov. The Rechov is, it's a little bit further. Okay, then there's also the level where you tell them, listen, just go outside the door. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go outside the door. Just go next door. No. The Deles Tisai Valtsida, the door swings on its hinge, the Otzel al Mitasa, and the Otzel is on his bed. He doesn't even want to go through the door. The door, all he has to do, the door is open. The door is not even locked. The door swivels. You just turn the door and it'll swivel on its hinges. Just get out of your bed and go outside. No, even that he does not want to do. Okay, then the next pasuk, okay, the other pasuk is only part of the equation. The other pasuk, the other pasuk that really caught my attention is what it's, no, this is what it says here. It says the next pasuk. The next pasuk we'll do right now, pasuk tezvav, toman otzal yodoi batza lochas. The otzel is lay, a couch potato. He sits on the couch and he puts his hand into the potato chip bag, into the tzalachas. The tzalachas is a pot. Okay, it's a pot of hot food. He just licks the pot. He buries his hand in the pot to eat food. But he is so lazy, he gets to the point nila, he becomes tired. Lehashiva al piv. He's so lazy, he doesn't have the koyach to take the potato out of the pot and put it in his mouth. That's what had the nature of laying against the Adkadei Kach. He needs someone to spoon feed him. Now, the marshal here of being spoon fed, the Medrash by Devarim, this is really where it comes from. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Ki koroiv eilecha hadavar me'oid b'ficha. It's in your pair. Uvilvavcha, your heart, la soisai. Shocking Medrash. The Medrash says that Moshe is basically telling Klal Yisrael, you're so lazy. You're so lazy, you've reached the lowest level of laziness. I'm not talking about laziness of going to the derech. I'm not talking about the rechoiv. I'm not talking about pachutz. I'm not telling you to get out of your bed, off your bed, and go through the swivel door. I'm talking about just putting the food, here it is. Just lift it up, beficha. It's in your beficha. It's in your peh. Hey, let me read the words over here. When Moshe said was the ultimate, minayin amar nila lahashiv al piv, shagedolash shebe atzlus, he, the greatest degree of laziness. I'm sure this is something, some clinical depression that people are even too lazy to eat. I have no doubt that there is such a condition out there of depression where a person is just too lazy and wastes away. Because are you healthy? Yeah, I'm just too lazy. I'm too lazy to open the refrigerator and take something out to eat. That's the shagadola shabatzlosi misha misatzel loses lissoich piv to put in his mouth mashemunach lefonov. The ilu Moshe Rabbeinu Oimer ki korov eilecha hadavar meoid beficha. All you got to do is use your mouth. You have to have the desire to pick the food off the table and put it in your mouth. I'm not telling you to travel the world. We can't go up to the heavens to reach the Torah. It's right in front of you. Okay, and that's what the pasuk here, the ultimate level of laziness. Okay, there are other psukim which will lead this pasuk of Nechoref. One of the pasuk of part of this equation was that Nechoref otzel lo yacharoish v'shoal ba'kotzir v'ayin. He doesn't want to go out in the winter time to plow the field. That's somewhere in the middle. So we had the derech, we had the rechoiv, a pasuk for the derech, a pasuk for the street, the rechoiv, a pasuk for chutz, a pasuk for the field. He's too lazy to go out to the sodeh. Where does the sada fit in this equation? Somewhere in the middle. It's not the derech, it's not the rechoiv, it's not the chutz, it's in the field. He's too lazy to go plow the field, so we should have some fruit, something to harvest in the summertime. And then we have the lying on the bed. He's too lazy to walk out the door. And this is the ultimate, he's too lazy to put the food in his mouth. Okay, let's see Rashi Pasuk Tezvav Taman Hineho Etzel Yisatzel B'Malach. Rashi has a little Mitzudos, has a little different interpretation of this Pasuk of Nil Ol Hashiva El Pif. This he interprets more as a mashal that if he's lazy, he's going to run out of money and he's not going to be able to purchase food. Let's see Hineho Etzel Yisatzel B'Malach. He's lazy, he doesn't get a job. The Chol Hayim Oisek Bachil, he's busy the entire day eating. The Yadav Tumunim Bitzalach. And his hands are buried in a pot, lekaneach tavshil, to clean the tavshil hamistabekbo, which is cleaving to the bottom of the pot. Vine, what's the end of this person? B'soifo yin nile, by not engaging in constructive labor, he's going to run out of money, and then the day will come when there will be nothing. He'll not be able to put his fingers, his hand to his mouth. So it doesn't mean that he's clinically depressed to the degree where he can't lift up his hand to his mouth. That's, the Mitzvah doesn't like that pshat. He doesn't want to discuss clinical depression. Even the most depressed person he holds is not lazy, does not reach a level where he can't put the food into his mouth. We're discussing, if you're not going to go get a job, you're going to run out of money, and then there's not going to be any food in the house, you'll have nothing to put into your mouth. What does that mean? It's not to be taken literally according to the Mitzvah of the Stavon. It's a militant expression. Loimar, sheyach sor lachmo, he'll be lacking food, had nothing more to eat. It's as if he was nile lehasim hamachal opivi, has nothing to put in his mouth. Rashi takes the pasuk more literally. Right, but salachas means a pot. But you, no, I'm sorry. Rashi has an entirely different interpretation. I'm sorry. Rashi learns not referring to a pot of food. I'm referring to a warmth. A lazy person is too lazy to warm up his cold hands. He rather freeze, get frostbite, than put his hands into Toman Otzel Yodabit Salah. He does. Biyoira Chama, he doesn't want to get his hands cold to go and do hard work. Biyoira Chama, Noisen Yodo, Mibne Hakar. He puts his hand in a pot, a hot pot to keep his hands warm, and he does not want to go and get a job to work, even though it's a little bit cold outside. That's part of the laziness. Nile Lehashiva El Piv. He is too lazy, Lehashiva El Piv, to put his hands to his mouth. Now, I'm not sure how Rashi would interpret that in the pasuk. He buries his hands in the hot, warm pot, but he's too lazy to take his hands out of the pot and put it to his mouth. So what does that mean according to Rashi? I'm not sure. Rashi's not finishing up. He doesn't want to keep his hands by he only wants to warm up his hands in the pot. He doesn't want to warm up his hands.
To lift up his hands to be able to blow his hands.
So instead he keeps his hands, and that's how he keeps his hands. Something along those lines. It's a degree of laziness. I'm not sure. Okay, let's go to the next. Pasuk Chav Tev. Let me just see if I need Midrashim. Okay, there is another measure I forgot to mention you over here. Going back to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Omar Otzel Shachal Badorech Ari Bein HaRechoyves. So this means, the word ashachal and ari, according to the Medrash, is a metaphor for very tough Talmidei Chachamim. Beis Medrash, you go to a real yeshiva where they're real heavyweights. It's not for the faint of heart. If you say a svara, right, you go to a shir and you open up your mouth and you say, Rebbe Avakasha, I don't understand this. I understand, yes, a kasha there. He says, what a klutz kasha. And he rips the kasha to shreds. Now, that's not necessarily derech eretz, but it's done. And they have stories in the Gemara like this. I don't know how you reconcile this with Pirkei Avos, but milchamtei shel Torah, it's not called milchama for no reason. When you engage in the debate in Torah, it's called milchama. It's milchama, it's war. It's real war. And in war, there are casualties. The person says, I'm not going to this yeshiva. I don't want to get beaten up. I don't want to get screamed at. I don't want to suffer abuse. Chazal says, v'lo habayi shel lomet. In order, David HaMelech was called, David's Rebbe was called Mifi Boishas. David had a friend, not to be confused with Shaul's son. Shaul's Yehoinasan's son was called Mifi Boishas. But David also, there was another Mifi Boishas that was David's main Rebbe. And why was he called Mifi Boishas? Mipi, from his mouth, came embarrassment. When David would ask a question, the Rebbe would say, you're a shaita. What kind of question? This question reveals extreme ignorance. And David was ashamed. So the truth was, David was happy to be ashamed because v'lo habayi shalom. And if you're not going to be ashamed, you're not going to learn from your mistakes. That's the way it goes. The only way you learn from your mistakes is through embarrassment. You know, it's funny. Every so often I lane. I have no head for laning. I lane sometimes. I lane where I daven. I get to lane. And years ago, I used to lane. You know, we used to go to practice minyanim, youth minyanim, and then we lane in the main shul. And I have no head for laning, but I like the covet. I like to have someone listen to me, no matter what, any expense. And I used to make outrageous mistakes. And when you make these mistakes, the tzibur, they really scream at you. They pounce on you. And, you know, there's some mistakes you remember your whole life. And I was once recently laning, and I was laning, and it came to a certain word, and I didn't make the mistake. But as I was laning, the memory of the roar of when I said this word came, it's like, I heard it, not from today, from 5 years ago, but now it's silent. Now it's silent. And so the truth is, that's a good thing. You only learn from your mistakes through the embarrassment, because I was embarrassed years ago, so now I knew not to make this same mistake. And the Otzel says, I'm afraid. I can't handle the heat. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Don't stay in the kitchen. He's afraid of the lion. Who's the lion? The Arish Bechabura, the lion of the group. The Shachal represents the ferocious Talmidei Chachamim that will shout you down, will put you in your place. Well, that's part of the process. You have to take some abuse if you want to get somewhere in life. The Otzel says, Shachal Baderech, the derech of going further requires me to be bitten. He's not saying there are dangers. These are dangers according to this interpretation. The Medrash, he will get bitten. But so what? So get bitten. Good for you. Get bitten. Through getting bitten, you'll be able to go forward. There's a lion. I'm afraid. I can't deal with it. And because of that, unfortunately, he does not proceed further in life. Okay.
That says the terrors is that it's a good terrors.
Different answer. That was for a child. My sister told me she went to look at her a certain school for one of her children, and she was sat in the class, and the Rebbe, the child, one of the students in the class is in elementary school, probably, I don't know what grade it was, but the child asked the question, and the Rebbe said that's an excellent answer for a different answer. For a different question. It's a very nice thing. It's a very delicate thing. But here, okay, that's when there's another medrash that says this pasuk refers specifically to Kriyashma. Okay, this is a plague we have today on Shabbos of saying Kriyashma Bizman. Bizman is, pasuk here says that he doesn't want to get out of his bed. What was the pasuk here? So Omar Otzah Hadeles Tisoiv Al Tsirovi Otzel Al Mitosoi. And what does the Medrash says? The Medrash refers this specifically to Zman Kriyashma. V'otzal mitosu Rabbi Doisa ben Horkinus Oimer Shena shel Shachris, sleeping late. The Yayin shel Tzarai Mutznizim in Oilam Shen shel Shachris Mulamit Shelo Yitochim Ben Lishon Ad Shetavar Olav Zman Kriyashma. Shem Yoshan Ad Shetavar Olav Zman Kriyashma Nimsa Botel Min HaTayra In Tzarch Lemashkei Okay, Adelas Shenemar. Okay, the Kari Achar Zmana Yesh Le Socher B'Torah Zesh Machmas Atzlus Poshav Le Kari B'Zmana Hifsit Socher Shenemar Adelas Tisayv Al Tzida V'Otzel Al Mitosay. Okay, so I don't know why it connects to the Delas. What is the Delas? Adelas Tisayv Al Tzira. The Delas swivels on the Tzira on its hinges, the Tzir. I don't know what that has to do with Kriyashma. The Otzel Al Mitasai and the Otzel Al Mitasai. The Dalid Tisayv Al Tzai. Okay, I don't know why the Medrash connects the dots. There must be something much deeper. It's Avos the Rabbeinu Nosson. The Avos Rabbeinu Nosson says that these words, Hadelas Tisayv Al Tzira, is a code for Kriyashma. The Kriyashma is waiting. It's waiting. It's swiveling in the wind. Maybe it means Echad. You know, in the Kriyashma, there's a very large Dalet. I'm just saying some wild pshat. There's a very large Dalet. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It says Echad, not Acher. And that's why, in order not to make the mistake and think on the Shparuch, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is an Acher. He's one of many things on my agenda. I have an agenda. This is what the Bali Musa say. Hashem Elokeinu, why is there a large Dalet? Person has a tendency to say that religion, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll put you in my schedule. But you're not the first item of the first item of my agenda. The first item on my agenda is to make money, to be happy, to succeed. Yeah, religion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's, you know, maybe I can squeeze you in the afternoon, I'll give you a couple of minutes of time. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Acher. You're someone else, you're Acher, you're an outsider. You're just a visitor who will occasionally come in. So in order not to make that mistake, the pasuk, the Torah, the Dalit is written with a big grace Dalit. It's Hashem is not an acher. He's not a visitor from another planet that is not a priority. Acher means he's not a priority. Hashem Echod. Hashem is... He is first and foremost, he is the most important thing. So here maybe we can make a drasha, we can say, the Deles is Soivev Alatsir. The Dalid of Echad. Right, Deles is Dalid. The Deles, the way you really, we don't pronounce it correctly. We say Dalid with a D. It's not correct. That's the whole world. There must be a reason. It's Deles, Dalit, or I don't know, but the real way to pronounce every place where the letter Dalit is spelled, it's spelled Deles. So Deles is a reference to the letter Dalit. The person is sleeping away, snoozing away. Snooze button. Keeps on pressing the snooze button. And the Deles, which is a code for Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, the critical part of Kriya Shema, that Hashem is your priority one, it's swiveling in the wind. It's not important to me. I'm sleeping on my bed. Maybe that's what the Avos Rabbeinu Nosson means. Hadeles tisayv al tzira. Who cares about Kriya Shema? I want the otzel. The lazy man is al mitasai. Kriya Shema is only Kriya Shema. One thing. We learned this in Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. There is a shita that Kriya Shema is always 10 o'clock year round. There's such a shita like that. So that's yach. You don't hear about it today anymore. Someone told me that years when he was a child, they grew up with that. That Kriya Shema is always 10 o'clock in the morning. We all used to the Magen Avraham and the Grod. Now it's Taka after 10 o'clock. After change the clock for a couple of weeks, it's very easy to become Kriya Shema. But even right before you change the clock, Kriya Shema is 9 o'clock. We're machmir, 9 o'clock, but there is such a shita that you can lamed zuchus on Klal Yisrael. There are many minyanim throughout America where you daven at 9 o'clock and not everyone is so nizer and saying Kriya Shema. It's not the end of the world because there is a shita that Kriya Shema depends upon the time when people wake up in the morning, the first 3 hours. People wake, whatever the zman that they can wake up, which is, I guess 6 o'clock. If you wake up 6 o'clock, people wake up. And, so I guess 7 o'clock. I don't know. 7 o'clock. So okay, I don't know how the research, but okay. All right, but this is a drush of the Deles, the Dalit of Echad is Tisev al Tzira. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is just by prayer. It's waiting for you, but the lazy man is snoozing away.
So is it just laying there, or is it talking about Kriya Shema al Amidah?
No, so the Medrash says Kriya Shema Shal Shachas. Alamim, he doesn't want to wake up. That's how the Medrash. The Avosar Medrash clearly refers to Kriya Shema Shal Shachas. He refuses to wake up in the morning, and he does not care about the obligation to recite Kriya Shema Bizman. Okay, that.
Some Mepharshim that say that he just lies while he's in bed trying to think what he should do, and he just. Get up and do it. Do something. Get up and do something. And he's thinking, I don't know what to do first. And that's, so he's rolling around in his bed trying to decide what to do.
All right, we'll stop here.